Hello and welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls with Larry. This is Larry. What's happening?
Not too much. How you doing, Larry? This is Jerry in Florida.
Jerry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Awesome, awesome. Good. Who else we got on the line that wants to speak up?
Melody, California.
Great. Who else?
Doreen in Denver.
Awesome. Anybody else want to jump in? I know we got a lot more than that on the line, but that's okay. A lot of people like to just hang back and be quiet. That's fine, too. So, having said that, welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls. They are second and fourth Monday of the month. Just so you guys know, it may be beginning the first week in March, but we're going to change the times of these calls from 9 p.m. to 12 noon. It just seems like I travel a lot in the evenings or I'm speaking in the evenings, so it's better for me to do them during the day, but all of them will still be recorded. So you can always log in and listen to the archives anytime you want to. So if you're brand new, welcome to the call. Welcome to Inner Circle. We got a lot of students that's doing a lot of deals, and I know because I get emails from them every week. So be sure and jump on the Facebook group, Larry Goins Official Inner Circle Group, and ask to join. We'll approve it if you're an Inner Circle member, and then you can network with other people in the group. People are buying houses from each other, selling houses to each other, funding deals, and encouraging each other. So be sure and join that as well. So having said that, I'll be on here as long as you guys need me tonight, and you can always email me anytime in between these calls or call me if you'd like, so you know how to reach me. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump right in. Who has a question that you would like to ask?
Jerry, I got a question. I got my first property under contract.
I know. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I went up and took pictures, got signs out, got my Craigslist ad, and I'm beginning to qualify buyers. What should I start focusing on other than qualifying buyers?
Okay, you're wholesaling it, right?
Correct.
Did you put out your bandit signs?
Yes.
Okay, good. You got at least 25 signs out, right?
Exactly 25 out.
Good for you. Good for you. And are you starting to get some good calls?
I've had two calls so far. One of them was so-so, but one of them wasn't bad. I'm hoping to get some better calls. But
Good. Now, how long ago did you put your signs out?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. I was going to say you should have had more than two calls if they've been out a few days.
I put them out yesterday about 11 o'clock a.m. So.
Okay.
Hoping to get a few more calls.
Sure. So I would put it, is it listed on the MLS?
I got it off the MLS. So, I got it. It was a Zillow.
Okay. So it's listed with the realtor. So you can't post it on realtor.com or Zillow, but you can put it on Craigslist, but be sure to take your own picture. Have you been out to look at the house and get, 40 or 50 pictures and look at the condition?
Yes, I have.
Good for you. Good. So make sure you get a ton of pictures. And have you posted them on your website yet?
That I have not done, no.
Put it on your website and send out an email to your buyers list if you started building buyers yet, like I showed you how to do. So send an email out to your buyers list and put an ad on Craigslist and take it to your local RIA group and, create a flyer, take it to your local RIA group, hand out the flyer. And you could also, a lot of times local RIA groups have like Yahoo groups or a Facebook group, and you need to post it on there as well, but also put it on Facebook Marketplace. What are you paying for it and what are you selling it for?
I'm paying $14 and I'm selling it for $23.
Good for you. What was it listed for?
31.
Okay, good, good. You ought to be able to do that. You got it at less than 50% of list price, right?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And it's right off the MLS. That's awesome. Good for you. So I would put it on Facebook Marketplace. Make sure you take your own pictures from like a different angle or whatever. Put it on Facebook Marketplace and put pictures up there and put all the different keywords in there. Handyman special, fixer upper, cash, landlord, rental, whatever, a bunch of different keywords, right?
Right.
So post it on Facebook Marketplace, and you're going to start getting a ton of responses at that price. You know, deep discount, pennies on the dollar, won't last long, must be a cash buyer, need to close fast, you know, all that good stuff in your Facebook ad. But you'll get a ton of leads off of Facebook. So I would do that right away. Put your ad on Facebook either as soon as you get off the call tonight or first thing tomorrow, all right?
Okay.
And your price point is perfect for Facebook, okay? Anything under $50,000 is great for Facebook. I'll give you an example. I think I might even mention this when you were at the office, is we posted a property for $69,900 and another one for $49,900. The same day, and within 24 hours, I think it was around 600 views on the $69,900 and over 3,000 views on the $49,900. So the lower the price, the more views you get, the more people are interested, right? So be sure and post it on Facebook tomorrow and let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, I certainly will.
Awesome. Good. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Good, good, good. Well, congratulations. That's sweet.
Pretty much.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Larry, I have a question. I'm putting an awful lot of HUD houses in, and I'm getting the responses, 100% responses, back saying that they will only accept a minimum bid. Are you all ignoring those first responses and then just resubmitting?
Yes, you're going to get counters, and you're also going to get replies that say that we would be willing to accept X if you want to put in a bid of that. What state are you bidding in?
Ohio.
Ohio. And how many bids are you putting in a day?
12 to 15.
Okay. How many properties are in Ohio on a given day that are for sale?
37 right now.
How many?
37.
Yeah, yeah. There's not as many as there used to be. That's for sure. That's for sure. But I would bid on at least all of those. At least all of those. One of the things that I have found is unless you're going wide and covering the whole state and maybe even multiple states, then we're having to do some off-market marketing, you know, for properties that are off-market, like direct mail or pay-per-click advertising and Facebook ads and bandit signs. So even though you're bidding on HUD properties and that's good and you might get a couple of them a month in the state there, especially bidding the way we bid for like pennies on the dollar, you know, it helps if you go into different states. If you're in Ohio, you're probably close to Indiana and not too far from Illinois and, I don't know, maybe Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. I'm geographically challenged. But you might be able to expand into some other states that are not too far away to get more deals with HUD. But we've found that we're having to start marketing for off-market properties in addition to HUD and MLS to keep our numbers up. So I hope that helps. Does that help you?
Yes.
Good, good, good. Well, awesome. Thanks for being on the call. I appreciate it. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
When you say put an ad on Facebook, are you putting these ads on specific pages?
Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, I see. In a particular state that the house is in?
Well, whenever you post your ad, it will allow you to post the ad, you know, like the address of the property or the location.
Yes.
So, you know, you can do that so people searching within, I think the default is like 20 miles outside of the location of the post or where the property is in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So, so just post it in Facebook Marketplace. That's all you need to do, and that's a free post.
It
costs you a penny.
Okay, thank you. And when you say, what type of letters, what list are you sending letters to for direct mail?
Well, there's a lot of different lists you could send to. You can use listsource.com. You can use melissadata.com. You can use CoreLogic or RealQuest. And here's basically your criteria. You're going to look for non-owner-occupied owners that have owned at least 7 to 10 years and have a minimum equity of X, whatever you want X to be. You could say all free and clear if you want to, or some people just say a minimum equity of X. So it's entirely up to you. There's some mail services out there that will actually provide you the list and do the direct mail. I would just do a search for that. But there are, you know, like Melissa Data and RealQuest, CoreLogic, and List Source are the main ones out there.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yes.
Good. Who else has a question?
Larry, this is Sarah. I have a question about recently there's a lot of advertising for ringless voicemail for marketing to homeowners.
Right.
What's your what do you think of it? I mean, should we add it to our marketing? I mean, it seems like it's much cheaper than sending out postcards, and it seems like it's a much cheaper way to market.
Yeah.
I just want to.
And what Sarah's talking about for everybody else on the call is you can use a service like CallRail, C-A-L-L-R-A-I-L, and you can upload a list, and then it will, and you can record a voicemail that says something along the lines of, hey, I noticed you have a property that you're not living in, and I'm looking for a property in that area, and I'm a cash buyer. If you'd like to sell your property, please call me back at your phone number, right? And that's called a ringless voice broadcast, ringless voicemail message, and it goes right to their voicemail. Their phone never rings, okay? And all you do is you buy a list that includes phone numbers, or you can buy a list from, say, Melissa Data, List Source, CoreLogic, or RealQuest, and then you have a service, it's called an append, A-P-P-E-N-D service, and you give them your list of direct mail, and they, through public resources and public data, they will find the phone number for the person who has that address, right, who owns the property at that address. So, or not owns the property at that address, but the person who resides at the address that you're sending direct mail to, it'll look up the phone number, right? So one service that does that is called TLO, TLO.com, right? And but there's a lot of them out there. You can do a search to find them, but TLO is one I've seen people use. So, yes, that is another source that you can use in addition to direct mail. Some people do direct mail and then have their same list appended, so they hit them with two touches. They get a postcard and then they get a voicemail from you, so you know it just kind of increases your response rate, so to speak. So yes, that is definitely something you can do, Sarah, and it's something we're going to be starting to do in probably the next 30 to 90 days. Right now, we're ramping up some direct mail and pay-per-click and Facebook ads. But you're right. In today's market, you know, you need to either go deep or go wide. And even that we go wide, you know, we are trying to increase our numbers, so we're having to look for some off-market properties. So
yeah, I have a question for the data intent service, because I know TLO, they don't do bulk. That's if you get a list of 1,000 records.
Right.
I mean, for TLO, you have to do one at a time. You have to hire a VA. I heard of Data Zap. I don't know if you have any experience with that company. That company actually does bulk skip trace. So I don't know what you think of that company.
And that's one of the many out there that does that. And when they do them in bulk, you're not going to get as high of a percentage as you would for doing one-on-one. But, you know, you're probably going to get about 60% of them that you can get the phone numbers for. But, hey, 60% is better than nothing. And it's also cheaper, you know, to get the bulk service to append the phone numbers as well so you can upload your list. So it is cheaper, but you're not going to get as many of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I heard, about 50 to 60%. But the problem with TLO is not everybody can get the account because they verify your address, and typically it's for lawyers and doctors. So a lot of people don't qualify for that service.
That's true. That is true. You have to be careful what you tell them. If you tell them you're doing research to find property owners to buy houses, they won't set you up an account, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're also doing the Filthy Riches model,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're seller financing properties, if you let them know you're using their service for credit approval, then they will allow it, right?
Mm-hmm. Or you can just tell them that you're landlords, you get fingers. But you should be able to go to your house or your office to check. I think that's what I was told.
Yeah, they do want you to have a physical office if you do use TLO. That is for sure. That is.
Okay.
But there's many others out there that don't do all that, that don't make you jump through hoops. But TLO is probably the most accurate and gives you the most good data. But they do have the most hoops to jump through.
So for TLO, do you know how much you have to pay for a month? And how does it work?
No, I don't, because I'm not using them right now.
Oh, okay, sure.
We used to, but we're not using them right now.
Oh, so when you were using it, what was it for? A postcard?
I don't remember. Somebody in my office handled that. I didn't handle it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Well, I hope that helped.
Well, yeah, and also for the ringless, so you use CallRail. Is there any other software
use? There's CallRail, there's CallFire, there's Call8, there's Freedom Voice, there's VoiceShot, there's VoiceCom. There's many of them out there that will do that. CallRail is probably the most popular.
Yeah, actually, I heard of one of the software called, like, InvestorFuse. They also integrated with CallRail, and they
That's
can
true.
Also do...
InvestorFuse is a done-for-you Podio service, but, you know, the thing about InvestorFuse is it's all set up for you, but it's an out-of-the-box system where, you know, if you want to add stuff to it, you got to go through them to add stuff or delete stuff or to add features or apps or whatever. They may have gotten a little bit better, but I've heard some complaints about, you know, different things breaking or about not having the flexibility, and not many people like that. People like Podio because Podio is so flexible. But when you go with a done-for-you system, you know, it's not as flexible as it would be if you had someone created on your own for you. Does that make sense?
So what do you recommend, like,
I have my own Podio system that we use and we sell.
Can you tell a little bit about that?
Well, it's just our own Podio. We include Podio and websites, and we use the OnCarrot platform of websites, and we have our own Podio set up. It's got an acquisitions app. It's got a buyer leads app, seller leads app, deal pipeline, and campaigns, and a homeowner in training application. I mean, literally an application where they can apply online to rent to own or lease option or seller finance a house. And we've got an inspection app, and all that's built into it, and it's already integrated with OnCarrot websites. And the whole thing is, I think it's around $800 up front and then $297 a month. But that's for Podio and the websites, and you don't need a Globeflow account. You don't need a Zapier account. You don't need any of that stuff. It's all integrated for you.
Oh, so that's
including the... We're going to do a webinar on it in a few weeks.
Okay. So you are, for the $297, you also included Invested Carrier website? That's part of it?
Right. It includes three websites.
And for that three website, can you create more like squeeze pages, or is there a limit?
Yes. With Invested Carrier websites, you can create multiple squeeze pages. In fact, limitless number. If you go to signjockeys.com, that's
okay,
a landing page I created on my OnCarrot website. If you go to privateinvestorsonly.com, that's another landing page I created on my own on the OnCarrot platform. So you could have 500 landing pages if you wanted it. It doesn't really matter. You can add as many pages, templates, landing pages, whatever you want. But I'm going to do a webinar on it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Is it hard to create those squeeze pages?
No. If you can send and receive email and write a Word document, you can create a landing page. It's very simple.
Oh, okay. And for your... Podio CRM, so you all—that also include like drip campaign with all the written.
Yep. Plus you can add your own drip campaigns too. You can add any drip campaign you want, whether it's email, and we also have text messaging in the app as well. So you can create text message drip campaigns as well, which is very important. So it's a really, really good CRM. But I'm going to do it's hard for me to explain everything it does here on the Q&A
okay.
call, because I'm
sure
other people have questions as well.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I have a list of probate houses or probates. Can you give me any pointers on that?
What are you wanting to do with them?
Do I need to send or contact the lawyer involved in the probate or handling the probate case?
You've got a list of probate properties. Do you have the list of like the administrator or executor of the estate, and you know there's real property involved?
Right.
Well, you handle those a little bit different than you would just trying to buy a house, because there's a lot of emotions involved. And sometimes people are going to yell at you, cuss you out, hang up on you. You know, you just got to be very, very careful about how you approach them. So if you direct mail them, make sure you create a postcard that is empathetic to what they're going through. And let them know that you help people in a situation. It's a tough time, and you're sorry for their loss. But you wanted to let them know that you do buy properties, and if and when they get ready and want or need to sell the property, that you're here for them, and you can work around their time frame, and you would be willing to give them an all-cash offer to help them, because a lot of people do need money to pay for final expenses. Yeah,
okay.
Just something like that. Just, you know, think about it and put together some ideas. And if you're going to send out a postcard, make sure it's not just a I buy houses for cash, right?
Right.
Yeah, good. Good. So that's what I would do. You could also send the list to an appending service, and you could get the phone numbers. In addition to that, you could upload the list to Facebook and create what's called a custom audience, and it will then you'll be able to run ads to that custom audience, and only those people on that list will see your Facebook ad. And you can post a Facebook ad that says, I buy probate properties, right?
Right.
So,
got it.
So you could do that. You could hire somebody off of Upwork or Fiverr and have them do everything I just explained to you for a very inexpensive price. You don't even have to know how to do it. You can hire somebody to do it for you.
Okay. Thanks.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yes.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question? Is Kimberly Stewart on the call? Kimberly Stewart, are you on the call? All right. Kimberly had sent me an email with quite a few questions, so if Kimberly's not on the call, I'm just going to respond by email instead of answering these questions here on the call. So does anybody else have a question?
Oh, you can answer those questions. I mean, maybe you will have the same questions too.
Well, these are more specific about Kimberly's doing. Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. Anybody else have a question?
Go ahead.
Larry, what other custom audiences could you create? Could you create rent-to-own buyers?
You could create any kind of custom audience. In fact, if you have, let's say you have a list of rent-to-own buyers, okay?
Yes.
People who have responded, maybe you have phone numbers, maybe you have email addresses of your ideal kind of client. You could upload that list to Facebook, and it will create a similar custom audience for you. In other words, people that are similar to the ones you uploaded, and it'll create a similar custom audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's another thing to do right there. There's all different kind of ways to do that. But, yeah, there's Facebook. You can do a lot of things with Facebook. There's professionals out there that really know what they're doing.
Mm.
You can upload a direct mail list. Like, let's say you're sending out email to, or not email, but sending out mail to a direct mail list. You can upload that list to Facebook, create a custom audience, and then post Facebook ads, you know, paid ads, that will only get shown to those people that you also sent direct mail. And if you make your Facebook ad look like your postcard, it will be familiar to them, and then they are more likely to click on it because they're like, wow, I've seen this company before. You know, they're everywhere. Maybe we should give them a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you can do with Facebook. There's a lot of people out there that know a lot more about Facebook than I do. That's why I tell people just hire somebody that knows what they're doing on Upwork or Elance or Fiverr or a website like that.
I see.
Yeah. Good. I hope that helped.
Yes, thank you.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Sarah. I have a question. Do you target, okay, what I found is when I'm trying to make offers on a home that is like under 100,000, there are a lot of competitions there. So my question is, if I were to target something more expensive, I don't know if you do a little bit more higher end to get, you know, better pricing. I don't know if you recommend doing that.
Say that again. Where are you buying?
I'm buying in Alabama and Tennessee, but I see a lot of lower end houses. A lot of them, like, people are bid up to like almost like retail price.
Well, you just have to make low offers. Yeah, you just have to make low offers. It's okay. It's okay, you know, to make low offers. Just like Jerry just got one for 14 that was listed for 31. So, you know, a lot of them may be listed at retail, but you just have to make the offers. Plus, you're going to see some that have been on the market for 30, 60, 90 days, and the ones that have been on the market for 60 or 90 days, they're more likely to take a lot bigger discount, a lot lower price. So it's just all relative. You just, the more offers you make, the more you're going to get. How many offers are you making a week?
Oh, my God. I'm making like 100 or more.
Now, is that including HUD?
Maybe more. No, that does not include HUD. HUD, I probably, okay, HUD, I think I probably make like 100 or more, but then I also do online bids for different
right.
audio.
You have a VA that's making your HUD bids, right?
No, I'm doing it myself.
Oh, wow. Now, what about outside of HUD, if you're making 100 offers a week, what kind of offers are those? Are those MLS offers?
I just started doing some more MLS because right now the HUD, I checked the results. Oh, my God. I mean, for example, like in Alabama, usually they post results for 2 weeks. And I went to check those results. Most people, I mean, they are bid like 70 to 90% of the asking price.
And that does happen. That does happen. If you look on HUDHomeValue.com, you'll see a lot of them, even in Alabama, are going for 70, 80, 90, even 100% or more of list price. But every once in a while, you're going to see one that gets bought for 50% of list price, 40% of list price, 30% of list price. And, you know, because you're not looking for every deal. You're just looking for the ones you can grab at a deep discount, right? So they're out there and people are buying them. But, you know, you either have to work the whole state, you know, to get a lot of offers out, or maybe even multiple states like you're buying in Alabama and Tennessee, or you may have to start doing some off-market marketing. So you're making about 100 MLS offers a week. Is that what I'm hearing?
Actually, for MLS, I just started doing MLS. So, oh, yeah, to supplement. Because the HUD right now is really competitive, so I don't get as many deals I want,
right.
So I'm trying to do MLS.
It is competitive. It is competitive. Are you putting in the MLS offers yourself?
Right now, I'm trying to look for property that is like over 200 days, and because I'm licensed in Alabama, so I put in the offers myself.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And then also, I do have a software that I'm trying to start using that will automatic send out purchase contract and email to listing agent directly. Because I did call some agent about the price, and she doesn't even want to talk to me. She said, just send in the offer.
Yeah, some agents are like that. You're going to get that.
Yeah.
That's about part of the course.
Yeah.
But I would also, hit up the RIA group. You know, I know you could do that. They got a very active RIA group in Birmingham, and you know, Montgomery and Huntsville. So there's a lot of places out there you could really market to get deals, and also, you know, start running maybe some Facebook ads in that area, pay-per-click advertising, or doing some direct mail in some of those markets. You should do pretty well with that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Okay, yeah, it helped. Thanks.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
This is Sarah. I have a question for your offers. I just want to see what is your strategy. Do you use the regular formula, like 70% times ARV minus rehab cost, and that is your maximum offer, and you do that for all the MLS and HUD homes that you are making offer? Is what you base on?
Yeah, that's the exact formula. You just be sure and subtract what you want to make too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm having realtor after realtor tell me that my offers are way too low and not submitting. Well, they are submitting them with reluctance. So is that a normal thing that's going on?
You know, how many offers have you made?
Oh, 7, 12, every day. It's quite a few. And
it's 7 to 12 a day or 7 to 12 total?
7 to 12 every other day, really.
Okay. And that's going to happen. You're going to have realtors that do that, right?
Right, but I'm getting more of the realtors that do that, in fact, they're now slowing down their responses. It's taken them 3 days to get the contract in and sending me the papers to sign. So now they're dwindling down on how fast they're doing the job.
They're doing what now? Say that again.
When I submit the offer to the realtor,
The
day that I submit it, it's taking them 3 days to get back to me the signature. And on at least 6 of them right now, this past week, another offer went in. So my question is, are they sitting there holding them for a better offer to come in?
Well, you know, you never really know what they're doing. But are you talking to the agents before you're submitting the offer?
Well, I've been generally working with 3 different realtors right now. One from the realtor.
Do you talk to the listing agent before putting in an offer?
Some of them, yes. Not all of them.
Say that again.
Some of them, not all of them.
Okay. Well, what we have found, especially on the MLS stuff, even if we have a buyer's agent, it's best to pick up the phone and call the listing agent and talk to them and find out a little bit about the property, the seller,
the seller's
motivation, and other offers that have been made. Because if you're not talking to them, you might be offering $30,000 on a house that they just turned down $50,000 yesterday. So it's not doing anything but, you know, wasting everybody's time, you know, especially yours, right? Because that's all you really care about is you don't want to waste your own time.
Right, that's right.
So I would pick up the phone. Here's what we do. We pick up the phone and call the listing agent on every property we make an offer on before we make an offer. We just pick up the phone and call them. Because some of them you find out, you know, oh, yeah, it just went under contract, but I haven't had a chance to update the MLS yet. Or we just had an offer of 50 yesterday, so there's no point in you submitting an offer for 30. Right? So it lets you weed through a lot of the junk. Or you might find out, you know, like we found out the other day, oh, this house has some moisture and water damage, and there's like 20 floor joists that are going to have to be replaced. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just all different kind of things, you know, or this property is landlocked. Right? We just found out there's no easement going over to the property, and nobody's ever stopped anybody from entering the property, but there's no easement. So when you go to sell it, that's going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just, mm-hmm. I would try picking up the phone and calling the listing agent on every property before you make the offer, and then make the offer. I think that's going to help you. Try that and see how that works, and let me know what kind of feedback you get, okay?
Okay. See, I was going through the realtors I've been dealing with, like trying to make a team member. So, and I did hook up with a realtor in Ohio that will allow me to put in the hot offers through their number, which I know that's stretching it a bit.
Now, I wasn't talking about HUD when I said call the listing agent.
Right, correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Right. Yeah, so I've just been going through my realtor and kind of, okay, I'll go back to the normal way.
Yeah, I would do that. It's okay to have your own buyer's agent, but call up the listing agent and say, hey, I just want you to know I've got a buyer's agent, but I wanted to call you personally and get some information before we put in an offer on one of your listings.
Okay.
Yeah, that should help. Good, good. All right, anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight.
Larry, I was wondering if I'm trying to have a lowball offer, should I come up with a good cover letter so the listing agent don't get pissed off?
Right.
You know?
Well, the cover letter that we use is just very simple. That says, you know, we want to make an offer on your property. You know, I know it's a low offer. However, we've had many agents that never thought an offer would get accepted, and 30 days later, they're cashing a commission check. So let's submit an offer on this one and see what we get back. You know, if they don't accept it, at least give us a counter so we can keep the negotiating going. And it's pretty much that simple.
Do you have that letter on the one of your course?
I don't know that I do or not. I don't think I have it written out. It's just usually each one of our guys just write out an email or whatever when they're sending it, right?
Okay.
It's just usually an email. It's not like an attachment or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question? Well, just know you guys can email me anytime. You can also call me. I know you guys know how to reach me. You got my phone number, you got my email address. And be sure and let me know anytime at all that you have any questions or need any help with anything. I'm here for you. And be sure and let me know, you know, when you do a deal. I want to get you guys on a podcast. If you're out there doing deals, shoot me an email, larry@larrygoins.com, and I want to get you on a podcast. I'm starting a brand new podcast called Brain Pick a Pro. I used to do it when it was a teleconference years ago, but I've already recorded about 7 or 8 episodes, and we're going to start releasing it very soon. So I want to get you guys on some on the podcast and interview you. So be sure to let me know if you're interested in that. So anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, is your cell phone ending 2857?
2857, yes.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? All right, guys. I appreciate you being on. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, starting next month, all of the calls are going to be at 12 noon instead of 9 p.m. They'll be at 12 noon Eastern time, okay? And that's starting in March. So whatever call you have, whether it's my call or Turk's call, it'll be at 12 noon instead of 9 p.m.
So that means all the coaching calls, right?
I'm sorry?
Is it for all the coaching calls?
That's for all the group calls.
Oh, group call, okay.
Yeah, if you have individual calls with Nathan, it doesn't apply to that. It's the group calls, which is really the only thing that's changed is my second and fourth Monday call and Turk's first and third Monday call. They're now going to be at 12 noon instead of 9 p.m. So with that, thank you guys so much for being on. I really appreciate it. We appreciate your business. And please, let me know if we can help you with anything. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.